I'm just gonna tell you where we're going, and then I want to ask you to comment to talk about what these verses mean. What do you see in them? The word church means a called out assembly. We're going to read in the next passage in 2 Corinthians 6, where he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." A church is a called out assembly. That means there are people here, and God's calling some people out of them. He's calling them away from them. The word sanctification, or sanctify, in the Bible, means to be set apart for a holy use. To be separated unto God. Separated for something that's holy. Okay? Does your wife or your mom have special dishes that when the company comes, she uses those dishes? You remember that when we were growing up? I don't know if it's that way anymore. My wife just has dishes that she says are for that, and then she never uses them. Okay? But, right. But they're just, these are real pretty, so we'll never use them. And no one will ever see them. But I want you to know they're real pretty and they're special. Well, say what? These are going to be used for my family, right. And, but in days gone by, when I was growing up, everybody, at least down south, they would have silverware that was set apart for special uses like Christmas and Thanksgiving. My mom would have me polish these things. Ridiculous. Okay? And then these dishes that you could never use, but they're real pretty, but we could never use them unless Aunt Florence came over or it was Thanksgiving and we were going to make everything all flowery. Well, God sets people apart. He said, here's the whole earth. He said, but what I'm looking for is people that would come apart. Not come apart in the sense of you fall apart, but that you would separate yourself and say, you know, I want God. I want what God wants. I want to be with God. So that's where we're going. The meaning of the word church. I know we've been talking about it, but I want you to understand, because I'm not in a hurry, because our ideas are not God's ideas. And what we have thought and what we have seen, and when we say the word church, we think of it as this little thing we do for an hour on Sunday, and we dress up, and we sing some songs, and we listen to a sermon, and we go home. That's not God's idea of church. Okay? So, 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Behold," that word "behold" means to like check it out. Hey, I'm trying to get your attention. "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." To obey is better than giving up something to God. See, people, God says, "I want this." And we say, "Well, I'll give you that." God says, I want this. And we say, well, I'll offer you that. God says, I want this. And we'll say, well, I'll give you this. I'll quit doing a little of what I'm doing. One of the reasons that, I don't know what's going on all with you and whatever, but one of the reasons that God works in us here a lot the way he does is because he's trying to get our attention so that he can get what he wants. When we have these little sayings around here, they're not just nice little sayings, like that one right there on that counter. Father, we want to give you everything you want. That's what this church is about. That's what I think every church ought to be about. That's what I think every believer ought to be about. Father, we want to give you everything you want. But instead of giving him what he wants, we offer him some things. In the Old Testament, before Christ, they painted a picture of Jesus by bringing sheep, oxen, rams, turtle doves, sacrificed them because it was a picture of Jesus coming to shed his blood because the only thing that pays for sin is blood. The life is in the blood. So in this passage, he says, if you go and you read the context, you'll find that King Saul, S-A-U-L, instead of waiting on God, like the prophet told him, he waited, but he got tired of waiting. It's kind of like we say, let's be here to pray 30 minutes ahead. And we do that a few times. And then we start showing up late. We come in and then we don't go over there. And it's not, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm simply saying what we do is, We start to do what God wants sometimes, and then we just kind of slough off on it. But God didn't change his mind. And God's trying to do something. He's trying to get our attention. See, many people, when this whole river move started and all this worshiping God and breaking out from traditional church started, it's like people like the idea, oh, yeah. And we can speak to the ideal, but just because you think you want church different doesn't mean, and just because we do things a little different here doesn't mean we're doing it what God wants yet. Right. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's trying to get our attention. When your kids were growing up, did you spank them? When your kids were growing up, did you give them timeouts? Why did you do these things? Because you're mean? You did these things because they got on your nerves? Why did you do these things? Sorry? For obedience. Why else did you do them? Okay, they were wrong for doing what they were doing. Why else did you do them? To teach them there's consequences to bad behavior. Why else did you do it? To discipline them. We're getting there. Because you love them. So they know who's in authority. Okay. What else? Let me give you an idea of what we used to tell our kids. You go and do you know what you did? Well, they go like this and say, what? Then they just, you know. So I said, I want you to go in your bedroom and I want you to think about what you did. I want to get your attention. Now, if I need to apply the Board of Education, your seat of knowledge, I will warm you up and get your attention. But I'm going to let you go in your bedroom and have a timeout so you can think about what you did, why, you know, what you did to your sister, why I'm not happy. Why in a little while you're not going to be happy. I want you to think about it. One of the things God's been doing with us for a period of time is slowing us down and saying, you say you want me, but what does that mean? You say you want church to be different, but what does that mean? You want your version? I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, yeah, when I used to go to church, he said, I really liked that church. Every time you went, it was fun. You know? It was like being entertained. I didn't say anything at that time. After a little while, I did. I said, you know, I said, God is about bringing us into His way. And I said, going to church is always going to be fun. Because it wasn't fun for Jesus to die on the cross or for you to come to Jesus. You have to realize you're a sinner, and that's not fun to think about that. And then you're going to need to repent. You're going to need to make some choices. And I said, and that's not fun. And when God's dealing with you about where you are at, and it's not in line with where He's at, I said, that's not fun. I said, church isn't just about fun. I said, if you want to be entertained, turn on the television. You know, I said, go to a movie. Go do your videos. That's, you're looking for entertainment. God has tried to get our attention, okay? We say we want church to be different. We say we want what God wants. So what is that? So let's look at 1 Samuel 15. I'd like to get some comments here. What does this mean? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? Does the Lord have as great delight as He is happy about people just bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices? Okay, it's like your kid saying, you know, little Larry hits little Grace. And I say, tell her you're sorry. I'm sorry. Are they sorry? No. Or usually they go like this, I'm sorry. Are they sorry? No. Did that help little Grace? Does she feel, oh, now he understands. Oh, that helps me a lot by you throwing me that little offering. That little sacrifice, you were made to do that. Do you see what I'm saying? Does the Lord have His great delight in offerings and sacrifices? People just bring it, here, I did what I was supposed to do. I fulfilled the law. God would say, well, wait a minute. This one is full of blemishes. You kept the best and you brought me your what you didn't want anyway. I remember my first pastor said that a missionary came to their church, and the missionary, his clothes were in boxes, tattered boxes, and he had just bought himself a new suitcase the pastor had. And he wasn't the pastor. He was just a guy in church. And God moved on his heart, why don't you give him a suitcase? He thought, okay, I got a new one. I'll give him my old one. It's better than what he's got. God was like, can you feel good with that? See, could he have given him the older suitcase? Isn't that better than what he had? Wasn't that giving him something? But it was really just giving him something that he was going to get rid of anyway. It wasn't really his best. You follow me? See, even when people give, it's like, why are we giving and what are we giving and is it our best? So what do you get out of that? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Sue said it's in obeying God's voice, not just in obeying, but obeying God's voice. Not obeying what we think or what somebody told us. Obeying God's voice. That little saying, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken. Do you know what the word hearken means? Listen. Pay attention on purpose. He said it's better to hearken than to bring the fat of rams. But doesn't the fat of rams fulfill the law, God? Yeah, but if I don't have your heart, if I don't have your attention, if you're not really doing what I want, you're just doing the least you have to do because you're saying, see, I obeyed the law. I made my bed. Yeah, but it looks like you got a herd of elephants ran over it after you did it. But I made the bed. My girls would say, I washed the dishes. I said, yeah, but there's these hard things on them. So I would make them pull all the dishes out of the cupboard. And I said, you must need practice. We're going to do the whole cabinet. My girls learn. You don't have hard stuff on those dishes when you put them away. Okay? All right, now let's go to second. Okay, wait a minute. Now, I want you to write these down and then you look at them later. You know, I get done late, but it'd be nice if we could start on time. And then maybe help me to. Okay, but look at verse 23. But I don't want to read it to you. I want you to meditate on it and write down your answers. Four words today. Get four words. What does God say? Whatever it is you're talking about, whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you're doing, what does God say? What does God say? I was talking to a man. I hired a man. He came to work with me on a Friday. And he said, others say that you shouldn't live with a girl. That's wrong. This guy has no idea about God, really. I mean, he does, but his idea of God doesn't come anywhere close to what the Bible is about, okay? And he says, some say, what do you think? I said, if you had to guess, what would you say? Well, some say, if you had to guess, what do you think? What do you think God wants? Do you think that's okay with God? No. See, I didn't have to tell him. People want to know what your opinion is so they can argue, so they can justify, so they can think it's just your opinion. What does God say? I wish you'd get that in you, seriously. What does God say? I'm going to pay this person who did something for me. What does God say? What would bless God? What would be true before God? Not what would be the least I have to do. I want you to do the dishes. I did the dishes. Okay, I put them away with hard stuff on them, but I did the dishes. You know, I washed them in dirty water. Okay, I did the dishes. Is that really what we meant? Okay. I want you to look at later this week, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Just look at verse 23 for yourself. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Start with verse 16. Verse 16, if you want to write down for your later notes, Amos 3, 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? He He says, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? You know what an idol is?
Anything.
Anything that we would worship as God. Look at your checkbook. That's what my pastor used to say. He said, show me your checkbook, and let me ask you about your time, and I'll tell you what you worship. Where do we spend our time? What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? And then he says, for you are the temple of the living God. When you met Jesus, did he not come to live inside of you as the Holy Spirit? Your body is a temple of the living God. What agreement? See, if we want to live in his presence, then it's like we have to break agreement or come out from among the idols. And then he said, as God hath said, so now God's repeating himself, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And we're talking about the word church being a called out assembly. Look at verse 17. God says, wherefore, because of this, because I'm going to come live inside of you, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. Because of this, verse 17, come out from among them. What does that mean? Things that are not godly. Okay? What else? Separate from man-made church, okay? If you go back to verse 16, he's talking about idols, okay? He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Yes, he wants to separate from sin. Okay? Now, think about what we're saying, okay? Think about what you're saying. He does want us to come out from the world system, the world's way of doing things, the world's thinking, the world's choices. You come out from among them to come unto God. You take time with God. You quiet yourself before him. You let him speak to you. You talk to him. You hang out with him. You become like him. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we are better than them. He just called us out from them because he says, I want people that want to be with me, people that want my heart, people that want my ways. He says, because what I want is I want you to get my message. I want you to get my heart. I'm not just looking to give people more rules or different rules to live by. He says, I want people that want to hear my heart, because he says, those that I'm calling you out from, I'm going to send you back to. But when I send you back to them, I want you to realize that I want you to go as my representative. So to go as my representative, you first have to separate yourself from them. You can't do all those things they're doing, be around all those things they're being, think the way they're doing. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a couple passages, and you can look them up, and we'll be done. One is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I believe it starts around verse 17 to the end, which is about verse 21. Okay? And he talks there about us being ambassadors. Look at that. Look in that context as ambassadors. And then I want you to look at Luke 24, verses 45, and I believe the last verse is 49. And it talks about, he says, and you are witnesses. I used to hear a preacher that we called springboard preaching. Please pray for me. I got this bad tooth and it's hurting my throat. Anyway, I used to hear what we called springboard preaching. Somebody would take a verse, and they'd read a verse or a passage, and then the rest of the 30 minutes or hour that they preached, it was all their outline and their stories and wherever they wanted to talk about. And then sometimes what people do is they take and they'll preach and teach what the Bible says, but everybody's just sitting there listening. At best, they're doing this. But what I've been feeling like God wants me to do is to challenge you with thoughts and ask you questions so that you will go and find what God has to say, what is the truth. I'm not trying to get you to be a Harveyite, to just follow Pastor Harvey, or just be a certain denomination. I want to get you, what does God say? Do you care? Do you want? Then you're going to have to, he's calling you out. That means maybe you're going to have to turn the TV off a little bit. You have to turn the video game off a little bit. You're going to have to spend a little time separated, being quiet, and opening that Bible. And that's why you need to write some notes so that you go, hey, what was it he challenged me about? And then you go and you start reading it and you ask God, what does this mean? And as you meditate on it and you start learning what it means, it's like you're going to start getting God's heart, God's way. And then you're going to live one of, it's like now you're coming to a choice of truth. Are you going to live the truth? Or are you going to keep doing what you're doing? And it may, in its mixture of truth and error. Can I say one more thing? I mean, is anybody going to have a problem if I say one more thing? I'm not going to take the rest of time, but I'm just, can I say one more thing? When I was growing up before I met Jesus, God did this before I was saved for 20 years. I kept looking at people in the world, everybody around me, and it was like people were not happy. They were not content. They were not fulfilled. They were not satisfied. They had pain. They hurt one another. Marriages. That's why I was never going to get married. Because I looked at the marriages, every marriage I saw, I was like, why would I want to be a part of that? When I met Jesus by reading the Bible, and I met Jesus, it was like, he is unlike anything, anyone I've ever met. And it's like, wow, he took away my pain. He filled me with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He became real. And it was like, I've got to have more of this, more of him. And the closer I've gotten to him, I still have pains and stuff, but I don't seem to have them the way so many people around this world have them. I have answers that they don't have. I have hope they don't have. I have peace they don't have. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe all of you do. I want to help give you the keys to help you live above, to help you live, to deal with what happens when somebody rejects you, makes fun of you, picks on you, hurts you. How do you deal with that? Because Jesus is right here wanting to help you, carry you, comfort you, soothe that. He wants to walk with you through life. He wants you to walk with him. He is the answer. I don't know any other answer that works. That's why I'm challenging you with these thoughts. I don't want to just tell you stuff and you go, Okay, now I'm a good Baptist. I've learned all the Baptist teaching. Now I'm a good Assembly of God. I've learned all the Assembly of God teaching. I don't give a flip about that. I want to get you to Jesus. Amen. I want you to become a Jesusite, a Christian. I want you to ask yourself these questions that I ask you. I want you to begin to look at this and ask yourself, what does that mean? Where is that in my life? What does God say? What does God say? What does God say? When I stand before God, I want to say, here's Roxanne. She's a lover of God. Here's Larry. He's a follower of God. Here's Glenn. He's a God man. It's not that they're perfect. It's that that was your choice. That was your aim. That was your goal. That's what you kept ever before you. What does God say? We commit this into your hands. We need you so desperately. I thank you for surrounding me with people that are HLBs, hungry little birds for Jesus. People that want you. People that are willing to seek you out. People that are willing to be challenged. People, Lord, that love you. And I want to lift them up to you. Ask your blessing on each one. Draw us. Help us. Bring back to our mind, Holy Spirit, these things. Bring back to our mind these things during the week. Help us to take time during the week. Go read these verses, meditate on them, and see what your heart is. Let go of what we're holding on to get what you want to give us. Thank you, Jesus. We bless. Ask you to bless the rest of this day. Bring those here you want. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.